I accept your nomination for Vice President of the United States of America.
Those words made history. This is Friday, August 21st, and this is VOA Asia. I'm Ira Melman. Also coming your way, Hong Kong hits back at U.S. actions against it. China defends a huge pool party held in the city of Wuhan. Australia makes a deal with one possible manufacturer of a COVID-19 vaccine. And some help for struggling Chinatown restaurants in New York City. Gun violence, climate change, and COVID-19. Issues highlighted on night three of the Democratic National Convention Wednesday, when Senator Kamala Harris of California accepted the vice presidential nomination as running mate to candidate Joe Biden. Michael Sullivan reports viewers heard a litany of complaints against Republican President Donald Trump, all conveyed through a virtual format.
An event held remotely because of the pandemic, featuring Democratic Party luminaries and supporters around the United States. It is an unconventional convention, said host Kerry Washington, a Hollywood actress. And its highlight was unprecedented, the first black woman and South Asian American to run on a major party ticket.
I accept your nomination for Vice President of the United States of America.
Nominee Joe Biden was featured in video clips, supported, among others, by Gabby Giffords, a former member of Congress who nearly died in a gun attack.
America needs all of us to speak out, even when you have to fight to find the words.
Donald Trump was criticized for harsh enforcement of immigration laws and the treatment of asylum seekers and undocumented migrants. Former presidential candidate Elizabeth Warren criticized his handling of the coronavirus pandemic.
Today, America has the most COVID deaths in the world and an economic collapse. And both crises are falling hardest on black and brown families.
Former President Barack Obama said Trump does not respect the diversity of the country or the importance of his job.
I did hope, for the sake of our country, that Donald Trump might show some interest in taking the job seriously. That he might come to feel the weight of the office and discover some reverence for the democracy that had been placed in his care. But he never did.
The previous Democratic nominee, Hillary Clinton, stressed the importance of voting.
Remember back in 2016 when Trump asked, "What do you have to lose?" Well, now we know. Our health care, our jobs, our loved ones. The
climate crisis. Using social media for a nominating convention is experimental, but one media analyst says the format may be working.
Because I think some of the moments that might have seemed awkward or might have seemed like the picture was a little grainy, I think that's part of many of our lived experience now. And more to the point, is in fact how we are having relationships in some cases with coworkers, family members, people that we care about.
Reaching out to voters in a year of pandemic. Mike O'Sullivan, VOA News, Los Angeles.
Apparently watching the Democratic National Convention from the White House, President Donald Trump sent out three tweets late Wednesday, all in caps, as he faced sharp criticism from the Democrats during the convention. Two of his tweets were apparently directed toward former President Obama. In one of the tweets, Trump repeated a claim that Obama spied on the Trump campaign in 2016. While intelligence officials did monitor contacts between the Trump campaign and Russian oligarchs, there is no evidence available that Obama directed the intelligence community to spy on Trump. These are among the top Asia headlines you'll find right now at voanews.com. North Korea says it will unveil new economic plans in a January party meeting. New Zealand deploys troops to its borders to prevent the spread of COVID-19. Two dozen female Pakistani journalists complain that they have encountered coordinated, vicious social media campaigns to harass, discredit, and intimidate them for their work. Almost 30% of the population of India's capital of New Delhi likely have been infected by the novel coronavirus, says a new survey. Bangladesh is ready to hold trials of potential COVID-19 vaccines developed by India and will receive early supplies of any successful candidate. Expanded coverage of these stories and more are on Facebook at VOA Asia and on the voanews.com website. You're listening to VOA Asia. The U.S. State Department says it notified Hong Kong Wednesday that Washington has suspended or terminated three bilateral agreements with the semi-autonomous city following China's imposition of a sweeping national security law. Lauren Anthony reports.
The United States has suspended or terminated three bilateral agreements with Hong Kong that deal with criminal issues, such as extradition of fugitives. The State Department says it's a response to China's implementation of its sweeping new national security law in Hong Kong and follows similar moves from Australia, Canada, and the UK. Hong Kong immediately reciprocated to the US, suspending an agreement on mutual legal assistance. It calls the U.S. decision a disrespect for bilateralism and multilateralism under the current administration. The decision also follows President Donald Trump's order last month to end Hong Kong's special status under U.S. law, to punish China for what he called oppressive actions against the former British colony. He signed an executive order that he said would end the preferential economic treatment for the city. The Chinese security law punishes anything China considers secession, subversion, terrorism, or collusion with foreign forces, with up to life in prison. Beijing and the Hong Kong government have defended the law as necessary to restore order and preserve prosperity after months of at times violent anti-government protests last year.
That was Reuters' Lauren Anthony reporting. Meanwhile, lawmakers from Hong Kong's largest pro-democracy party say they plan to hold a debate over serving in the legislature another year or boycotting the extension of their terms. Their terms were extended because the government postponed elections for a year, citing the coronavirus outbreak. We continue on VOA Asia. The Chinese government said Thursday that a crowded pool party in the central city of Wuhan showed that the city had won a victory over coronavirus. Francis McGuire reports.
The Chinese government is defending images and photos that emerged of a crowded pool party in Wuhan this week, which went viral on social media. The Chinese city was, after all, where the global health crisis was first detected last year. But the amusement park that hosted the busy event was backed by the government on Thursday.
This shows that Wuhan's fight against the coronavirus has achieved a strategic victory.
State newspapers, China Daily and the Global Times also celebrated the event. They said the festivities showed life was back to normal in Wuhan. Strict lockdown measures earlier this year in the city and across China helped slow the health crisis. On Thursday, China reported its fourth straight day of zero locally transmitted infections.
Francis McGuire reporting. Happening now in Asia, Hong Kong publishers have been told to remove sensitive content from secondary school textbooks, according to local media. It's the latest move to tighten the city's academic freedoms after the passage of a new security law. Hong Kong's government said the edits would help students develop positive values. It denied any political censorship. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. We continue on VOA Asia. International visitors to Australia may be required to have a vaccination against COVID-19 under government plans. Canberra says it has secured the rights to the Oxford University vaccine in the United Kingdom, which is thought to be one of the front runners in the global race to find an effective treatment. Phil Mercer has more from Sydney.
The Oxford University study is among a crowded international field of teams racing to develop a safe and effective coronavirus vaccine. Usually scientific work of this complexity would take years, but research is being fast-tracked at unprecedented speed. Australia has signed a deal with British drug maker AstraZeneca to produce and distribute the Oxford vaccine if it works. All Australians would be offered doses, but a medical panel would determine a priority list of recipients, including health workers and the elderly. Prime Minister Scott Morrison.
We have signed a letter of intent with AstraZeneca, which will enable Australia to access, should it be successful, the vaccine for COVID-19 here in Australia, manufactured here in Australia, distributed free to 25 million Australians in the event that those trials prove successful.
Morrison backtracked after earlier suggesting vaccinations against the coronavirus could become mandatory for Australian citizens. However, government officials have said the vaccine could be compulsory for anyone travelling to Australia, if that was the advice from medical experts. Australia's borders are currently closed to foreign nationals. Paul Kelly, the nation's chief medical officer, believes uptake of any vaccine in Australia would be high.
The first will be a voluntary call for people, and I'm sure there will be long queues, socially distanced, of course, for this vaccine. It will be incredibly welcomed by many. It will be the absolute ticket to get back to some sort of normal society and the things that we all love and enjoy.
The aim is for 95% of the population to be inoculated, although experts doubt that figure could be achieved because of concerns in Australia about any new coronavirus drug and the speed at which it's been developed. Australia was also looking to sign deals with other vaccine developers. Human trials on a potential treatment have started at the University of Queensland. Experts there believe a vaccine will be available for emergency use by the middle of 2021. Officials in Canberra have said they were in discussions with Australia's neighbours, including Indonesia, Papua New Guinea and Fiji, about supplying a vaccine. Australia has recorded about 450 coronavirus deaths, most from an outbreak in the state of Victoria. Phil Mercer for VOA News, Sydney.
New York City's Chinatown neighborhood is struggling to get back on its feet as New York City reopens. Now, thanks to an outdoor dining project, restaurants in the neighborhood are gradually getting their customers back. VOA's video journalist Zhu Dao reports in this piece narrated by Lin Yang.
Rosita Lee has been running the Noodle Village in New York City's Chinatown for 13 years. In March, she closed her restaurant for 3 months due to the COVID-19 pandemic. Now, even as her business reopens, a permanent shutdown has been lingering on her mind.
I really thought about closing my restaurant in June when we just reopened. It was really difficult.
According to the Chinatown Business Improvement District, only 100 out of roughly 300 restaurants in New York City's Chinatown are now open for business.
New York has lost a lot of tourists, 67 million annually to be exact. In the past, there were also 300,000 people who worked in the offices nearby.
Yet a new project is gradually bringing life back to one of the oldest Chinatown in the country. Dine Out NYC, a pro bono effort by the architectural firm Rockwell Group, has put up new dining installations on the very last stretch of Mott Street. The closed-off outdoor seating can hold up to 120 people and offers open-air, socially distanced dining options to Chinatown's diners. To the restaurant owners, it's completely free.
This is the first good news in so many months of hardship. It's a morale booster.
Multiple restaurants on the strip are benefiting from the facilities as diners start to come in to enjoy a bowl of wonton soup or try the famous Peking duck. Jin Lim, who opened up her cheese tart shop in June, said the installation has brought in a decent amount of business.
This is like a food court. After this, I think there's a lot of people walking around. When they buy from there, they will always come here and try one or two.
Yet Rosita Lee said there are limitations. Since the pandemic never really went away, her restaurant, which can hold up to 50 people, can only serve 18 right now. She said she's taking a wait-and-see attitude.
I hope it will get better. I've been doing this for more than a decade, and my employees are great. So as long as the loss is bearable, I want to continue running my restaurant.
A citywide shutdown, an ongoing pandemic, discrimination against Chinese and the Black Lives Matter protests all contribute in a decline of foot traffic to the area. Chen said New York City's Chinatown has a record of being able to get back on its feet. Lin Yang for Jiu Dao, VOA News, New York.
Thank you for being with us. I'm Ira Melman in Washington. Please take care of yourself, be kind to yourself and others, and have a great day.